day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, 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 hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We are joined this morning by Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse, and we've talked about a variety of subjects this morning, and you can find out more about the features that we've talked about, containers, how to put together those containers on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. The top of this hour, we want to talk about just your research, Brian, into mental health benefits behind gardening. I know personally that it saved me probably thousands of dollars in therapy just being able to be out in my yard and to create new things. And Ton, make sure you chime in here. But tell us what you have learned, what research does tell us about the mental health benefits behind gardening.
You know, people that have been gardening for a long time have known this, but recently we found some research that actually backs it up with scientific evidence that, you know, gardening and specifically working with flowers also can do things that it can work wonders for our mental health, but not only that, but our physical health. It's been proven that when you dig in the soil, that microbes are released, and the certain microbes that are released actually trigger the production of serotonin, which is just like using Prozac, but without any of the side effects. So it can help with memory retention in children and adults. And so all of you that are homeschoolers right now, you know, we see so many new people coming into this as a hobby, gardening as a hobby, that If you just get your hands dirty and dig in the soil, that you get all these benefits, that, and aside from all the physical benefits of working out and working hard in the yard, there's a lot of other scientifically proven benefits as well.
You know, Maria, there's also a lot of research out there in different areas, and Brian mentioned with senior citizens and other things, but there's a whole field called horticulture therapy that uses gardening and plants to actually help people heal from mental trauma. It's such an important area. And then I've not really done that, but I've taught horticulture in gel settings, and there's a lot of research out there showing that you can reduce recidivism rates by incorporating gardening programs in those sorts of areas.
Interesting.
Exactly. And we just ran a podcast. We have a podcast that's really geared towards beginner gardeners, which a lot of us are, called Dig in the Yard, sponsored by Olson's Greenhouse. And we just brought Dr. Charlie Hall on, and he's curated a lot of this research. He even shows a study where they measured the facial expressions of women, and they gave them gifts, different types of gifts, and flowers are one of the only gifts that elicit a true smile when they received as a gift. So nothing beats flowers and gardening for mental and physical health.
You know, I'm grateful that gardening is considered essential and that there's not a problem getting all the wonderful plants that we get every year, especially at this time when I want to start planting my containers.
You know, I think you guys touched on it a week or two ago, but there's even a new movement called Victory Garden 2.0. And Victory Gardens were done at the end of the early World Wars, where the United States government encouraged people to plant vegetable gardens to sustain life and to add to the food supply. And we see a resurgence of that and a movement coming about that again. And people are into vegetable gardening, but flower gardening just as much is just as important. And it's important for our mental health as much as it is vegetable gardening is for supplying food to us. We need to be able to work with flowers and living things and to nurture things. And there's no better project for young children as well. If you're homeschooling, to get them out, your yard can be your lab. You know, they don't have that benefit in a school setting. And so get them out and get them gardening, get their hands dirty, and you'll see the benefits, I promise.
Brian, you haven't had any problem getting all of the plants that you grow to Home Depot, Walmart, Costco at this time. And I know that people are very anxious to get out and start gardening.
Yeah, you know, we're doing everything we can to keep our employees healthy. We've been on top of this as the best we can. They're all working hard, and they're proud to be have jobs and incomes right now, and we're working hard in the greenhouses, but we're also working hard out in stores, stocking the shelves. We have employees, and we're hiring. If any of you need jobs, look for ProGrow Partners, our merchandising company out in stores. But we've been able to ship, we continue to ship, and we're shipping more frequently so that we don't clog up the stores and we can keep social distancing out at Home Depots, Walmarts, and Costco's where we sell.
Well, we appreciate you. Thanks for being such a great sponsor of the KSL Greenhouse Show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Brian is here to take your questions, as well as Ton and I. The number to call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. Let's take a call from Dave now from Cache Valley. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, I got a question for you about, I've got a flowering pear tree in my yard in Smithfield. And are you still there?
Yep, we're here. Go ahead.
Okay. Flowering pear, and it had some fire blight in the top. The top's pretty much dead. If I cut that off, would that tree grow back into something worth having, or should I just cut it down and then have the roots and stuff taken out and plant something new?
Well, you could cut that top out. How tall is the tree right now?
Oh, it's probably 20 to around 20 feet tall, probably.
So you would be going from a rough teardrop shape to more something circular. And what would happen are the branches, as they grow, would start to reform the shape of the tree. But it would take 5 to 10 years to get something with a semblance of what you had before. But if you don't cut it out and it is fire blight, that actual infection will kill the tree.
Yeah. Okay. Any recommendations on another tree to put in there? I've got a Shade Master locust tree a little ways away from it. Is that a pretty disease-resistant tree?
It can be. When I was up in Cache Valley, I used to live up there in 2011 when we went from the 50s down to 0 or -5 degrees. Honey locust took it a lot harder than some other trees. I don't think they go dormant as quickly, but they're generally okay trees for the Cache Valley. How big of a tree do you need?
Well, it's the locust to balance out the yard, tree that would be probably 20 to 30 feet high, maybe. 2020.
You know, I might look at Pacific Sunset Maple or Norwegian Sunset Maple. Maybe some of the newer crab apples will get 25 feet, and what fruit they get sticks to the tree, and you'll get a flowering tree in the spring. And so you have a lot of good nurseries around there. Up in the north end in Cove, you've got, what's the name of it? There's a tree farm up there.
Yeah.
And you've got Moose's Place, Garden Gateway, and the old Tony Grove. There's a lot of good places to get trees.
Can you give me the names? I got the Pacific Sunset Maple. And what was
Norwegian
the
Sunset.
Norwegian, and then the last one?
Any of the newer varieties of crab apples. So what you want to make sure of is that the fruit is what's called persistent, and that means it sticks to the tree and doesn't make a mess.
Okay, now that crab apple, would it be subject to fire blight?
It depends on the particular variety. A lot of them are resistant.
Okay.
So, and if you've had huge problems with fire blight, you may avoid that. You know, if it was just this one tree out of 10, I think you'd be okay. But if, you know, all the neighborhood's pears had fire blight, I might avoid the crab apple.
Okay. One other quick question. The compost that they have out of the Logan City landfill, is that okay to put on your garden in the fall?
In the fall, I wouldn't hesitate. I used it actually quite a bit at the community garden we used to have in Hyde Park and over in Nibley. And we would go in and mix a lot of it into our soil in the fall and let it decompose over the winter, and we never had any problems.
Okay, great. Hey,
but that's the critical thing with compost, is that you want to give it time to break down. And just in case there's a little bit of salt or something in there, if you put it in the fall, that gives it a chance to have those salts flushed away.
Okay, great. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks for your call. Ton, we have a couple of texters wondering about Roundup and if this is a good time to apply Roundup.
It's fine, as long as what they're spraying is green and growing.
Okay, is it time for lawn fertilizer, and which one should they use?
Well, if they have not done pre-emergent, I would get that on very quickly, and I would use one called Dimension, and oftentimes that is bundled with fertilizer. But if they don't need pre-emergent, I would wait until probably Mother's Day to put your first fertilization down.
Okay, quick call now from Bill and Sandy. Good morning, Bill.
But didn't have a chance to ask my question before the commercial break. I planted leucothoe, which I read will not thrive in my 7.5 pH soil. And I would like to know what you think about elemental sulfurs, aluminum sulfate, and chelated iron as treatment. And
I
what
would
about
honestly just buy new plants, because you're going to spend more money trying to keep leucothoe alive than you would to just replace it with something that's more adapted, unless you're wanting a hobby or something.
Oh, okay.
Chelated iron is $25. A bag of elemental sulfur is about $20. And then, you know, the Miracle-Gro Mirror Acid's $10 to $12. And you do that once a year, and all of a sudden it's just far cheaper to buy different shrubs or perennials.
Well, that kind of cost doesn't deter me. It's a question of how labor intensive it would be.
Well, I mean, if given the percentages, and I'm just going to be blunt here, and I'm not trying to be mean at all, I would give a 70% chance that within 3 years that leucothoe is dead.
Okay. And what about the Oregon grape holly?
It'll do fine.
Okay.
As long as you get it in afternoon shade.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, good luck. Thanks for your call, Bill. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls. We are also joined this morning by Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse. Let's take our next caller, and that would be, let's see, Rich in Bountiful. Good morning, Rich.
How are you?
Doing very well. How are you doing this morning?
Good. I have a question about an English oak I planted a year and a half ago. It's about 10 feet tall, and last fall, a deer came and scratched some bark up on the base. And it's not budding or anything yet. Is it going to be okay? Or?
Okay, you were breaking up on us, but from what I understand from your question, deer scratched the bark on the base of the tree, and you're wondering if it's going to be okay. Ton?
Yes. Yeah, and it's not budding. It's not budding yet.
You know, the oaks can be a little bit later, and a guide that you could go off is we have a lot of Gamble's oak, the scrub oak on the side of the hill. And if it's budding out, and the English oak isn't, there may be problems. But they're usually a little later. And as long as the deer only rubbed about 50% of the total bark, off of the base of the tree, if there's still 50% of the bark intact, the tree, if you can keep the deer away from it, there's a good chance it would recover. Now, if it was already stressed and that happened, you could have killed it. But given a healthy tree, as long as you have about 50% of the bark intact and you can exclude the deer from it, over a period of 3 or 4 years, the tree generally will recover.
Okay. And is it worth, I'd seem like, a prune spray type thing to spray where the deer rubbed off? Is that
no.
worthwhile? Or?
The tar paints, the black paints that you put on, pruning paint was a thing from the 60s and 70s, and modern research through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s show that it actually does no good, and it's oftentimes detrimental to the tree.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your call this morning. Our next texter, Ton, saying that they've lived much of their adulthood in Virginia, and they really miss those beautiful flowering shrubs and trees, particularly crepe myrtles. And they're wondering whether there's a variety that can endure the arid conditions here in Utah and South Ogden are bountiful.
It's not so much the arid conditions, it's the winters. And I have known people that have tried a lot of the supposed hardy crepe myrtle that are down to like a zone 6 or 7, and they might make it a couple of years, and then all of a sudden we get below zero and they're killed to the ground and they just kind of make a bush. And so theoretically, kind of, but if you're wanting the tall 25 to 30 foot crepe myrtle trees that bloom the last half of the summer like would do in St. George or Alabama, those areas, generally no.
What if they had a really warm spot in their yard? A more
it's
protected
still
spot.
Too cold still in the winter.
Oh, okay. Well, we tried. This next text is for Brian. Brian, this person is asking how many plants can go into a container garden or pot, and how do they decide?
Well, that's a great question. You know, it kind of depends on the size of the container, but I like more than less. And there's a specific reason why. I love instant gratification. I think a lot of us do nowadays. And so I cram them in. And you can do that as long as you're willing to realize that it's not, maybe not, won't last as long through the season. So the good rule of thumb is if you want it to last longer, space them more apart. If you want instant gratification, shove a bunch of color into that thing, even to where you can squish the root balls into different shapes to cram even more in. That's what I do. So whatever you're going for, you don't have to follow this, the normal spacing guidelines on the tag for planting out in beds, because it's a little bit of a different situation in a container.
I know some of our listeners haven't been listening all morning to what the wonderful advice you've been giving and the talk about all the different kinds of plants. Mention some of your favorites again for containers that you are putting into Home Depot, Walmart, and Costco right now.
Well, I love thrillers, fillers, and spillers to make up a good combination container. And my favorite thriller right now is lupin. It's a perennial plant that gets a stocky bloom. My favorite filler is coming up out in stores called Amore Petunia. It's on our webcam right now. There's a heart in every petal shape of the petunia bloom. And my favorite spiller is Lemon Coral Sedum from Proven Winners.
All right. And people are asking, how do they see these things on our webcam? And the way you do that is to go to the KSL News Radio app. And then you can check out the live stream there, and you will see the web camera, and you will see Brian sitting in this beautiful Olson's greenhouse with all of his beautiful plants.
Maria?
Yes, go
they
ahead,
need
Tom.
The KSL News Radio app, not just the KSL app.
Right.
So you, when you search on the Play Store or in the Apple Store, search KSL News Radio.
Right, and I understand, Ton, that I skipped by something. You wanted to make a correction.
Well, really quick on that, the gentleman that called about the Leucothoe way and things, I don't mean to be so abrupt, but it's just one of those things that you, if you wanted to try to grow it, download a fact sheet called, it's USU's called, I think, Blueberries in Utah, Is It Worth It? And or just USU and blueberries, and the same techniques you would use to preserve and grow those blueberries, you would use for Leucothoe and camellias, but I just haven't seen them be that long-term here, even when you're doing your best efforts on them.
Right. And we need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. 801-575-8255, the number to call, or you can text us at 57500.